Hi, I'm Brittany.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Katie, better known as Joyner.
We are three best friends and professionals, pediatric speech-language pathologists, and moms who try really, really hard. But we are by no means experts.
In many cases, we will be learning right along with you. The advice we offer is of a general nature and certainly does not replace the advice of a medical professional.
We hope you leave our conversation with something in your cup, whether it be laughter, new information, inspiration, a question. We hope we can fill your cup. Welcome to the Cup of Counsel podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Cup of Counsel podcast. Tonight, we are going to talk about leaving work at work, which I think all of us are excited to talk about, and also hopefully have some tips and tricks that we've picked up along the way over these last 12 years that we've been working. 12, 13? I don't really remember.
I think 13.
Yeah.
13.
Almost 13.
Yeah. 2010, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're talking about leaving work at work. We figured that would be a great topic to discuss, whether you're a speech pathologist or not. But first, let's get started with what's in our cup. So real cup or a metaphorical cup? So Joyner, do you have a real cup or a metaphorical cup or both?
I think I have both, but I actually know what I want to go get. I don't have it right now, but I'm going to tell you what I was going to get for this recording. I'm going to get it in a second. Is, have you guys tried those Vizzy drinks? It's like the seltzer train, but they just make it look a little bit more classy because they say there's vitamin C in it. So you feel like you're being somewhat healthy while you drink it. So that's what I have over there that I'm going to go get in a second. So that's what we'll be in my cup here in a second.
Let us know if you're going to get up and walk away.
I'm going to walk away here in a second. Now you know where I'm going.
Yeah. It's a seltzer, you said?
Yeah, it's like a seltzer.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Amy, what about you? Amy's doing some stretching right now.
I'm super uncomfortable. In my metaphorical cup, I suppose, is I only have 10 days of work left.
Woohoo!
So that kind of plays into this episode because I'm ready for a break. And I have 10 days of work left because I'm having a baby. And I'm taking like a week off ahead of time. And that's intentional because I just need a mental health break and my body needs a break and all of those things. So that is what's in my cup. Brittany, Great. What do you have?
I have wine, like usual, my red wine. This is the red wine that I had at my birthday dinner, which we refer to in one of our episodes.
Oh, thank God. So, you finally found it.
Thank God I finally poured it. So that's what I have. In my metaphorical cup, I was just going to say this Wednesdays are like my Fridays since I work part-time. So this is a fun topic to talk about because I feel like I leave on Wednesdays and I'm like, whew, okay, done. Now time for stay-at-home mom mode. So I feel amped up for this topic in my metaphorical cup.
You said red wine, and I was just thinking, usually that's always what I would have in my cup, but I don't know if you guys have ever done this. One of my favorite shows on Netflix just came out called Working Moms. The final season just came out. If anyone watches Working Moms, or if you haven't watched it, I highly recommend it. But I did the classic mom thing where you get your kids in bed and you're like, oh, I'm so tired. I cannot wait to get these kids in bed. And then that is your only time you have to yourself, like the whole day. And so I was like, oh, I'm just going to watch one episode of this show that I love. And I sat down and I was like, oh, it's so late, but it's okay. I'm just gonna watch one more. I ended up watching four episodes and drinking an entire bottle of wine by myself. Oh, so I'm a little.
Just now?
No. Yeah, before I got on here. Just now.
Isn't that what she said?
Oh, the other night.
I think she said the other night.
Oh, I was like, it's only like 9 o'clock where you
put my kids to bed at 4 and just drank it before I got on.
Yeah.
No, yeah, but I that... feel I feel like, do you guys ever do that where you're like, this is the only time I have to myself all day? And so then the next thing you know is like you try to do all the things you want to do, which I got stuck into this show. And the next thing you know is like 1 a.m.
You stay up way too late and then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. My husband and I are always, we're just really bad. We're like, we just want to hang out and do nothing and watch the show and not be needed. And you want to get like an hour of that.
Yeah, you only have that in like, what, after 8 p.m., you know, like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then every day I say I'm going to bed early and then that happens. So.
Yeah, it's tough.
It is tough. But I think this is a good episode to do. We're in an interesting spot right now because, like Amy said, she has 10 days left of work before she is out on maternity leave. Brittany just went back from being on maternity leave. And I'm still on maternity leave because I took a whole half of a year for maternity leave. So
Yeah, you did.
I did. So I would have been going
back.
So
many words I could say to you right now.
It's not just quitting, it's just you're still on leave, I guess.
I'm still on leave.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still on leave. I would have been going back right before progress reports, and I didn't feel like I would have been able to adequately say their progress when I hadn't seen them for 4 months.
That's the bullshit reason.
Interesting reason.
You're on a sabbatical.
I'm on sabbatical right now.
Yeah. So any advice that Joyner gives tonight, Amy's just going to be like staring at her.
Well, I left the work at the work. That's what we're talking about, right?
Still, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I've left it at the work.
Joyner's advice is to just leave it and go work. Go home for 7 or 8 months.
Don't go back.
You're done.
Leave. You're done.
Just tap out.
Just doing like the all done sign. Like, all done.
Yeah, all done. Little PEX card finished.
And then you just go back when and if you feel refreshed.
Yeah, right. Okay, so.
I have a lovely, awesome human who I'm very lucky that covered my sabbatical.
Yeah, that's very nice. You get to have a sabbatical. Very nice. So, those of us who don't have sabbaticals, we're going to just kind of talk about what we do, I guess.
So
we're
going to do that first. So
yeah. Amy looks really uncomfortable. Amy's
just taking all of her clothes off.
Room. There's like glittery pictures behind her. She just keeps moving back and forth. Now she's taking her clothes off.
I just took my bathrobe off because I'm so hot.
Okay. Are you okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make
it. Okay. So, what are some things that maybe we can talk about what we do to leave work at work?
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't thought of anything concrete besides I put my work phone like in my backpack and hang my backpack up away from like where I walk, like my walking path in the house. I used to have my work phone and plug it in right in the middle of our kitchen. And literally every time you pass your phone, what do? Like if you're not holding your phone, you tap it and like look at it. What do I have? It's just like an addiction that we all have to our phones. So if I saw an email or a text from somebody, you feel like you have to answer because I either one, just want to get the answer over with so I don't have to worry about it come Monday, or two, it's something, you know, that I'm like, well, maybe I won't remember this on Monday. I should just answer now. Or that was really hard for me for a while when I first went part-time after my first baby was my week. You know, I worked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Wednesday night had to be like, okay, done now. Now get into mom mode for the next few days. So I used to, charge my phone in the kitchen. Now I just put it in the backpack and I'll check it every now and then, maybe like Friday afternoon just to see if there was anything. But at least my work is really good about, like, if you do answer on a day off, they say, like, hey, like, please don't. You know, you're on your own time. You shouldn't be working. So hopefully a lot of jobs do that. I've had other jobs that do not, though. So I've been literally told you're salaried. You're expected to work when you need to work. So I feel like that is not okay. And I'm glad the workforce is kind of shifting that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be a long time until that's truly shifted like that. So it helps that I'm hourly now too. Like I physically like clock out of work. So that helps to like watch myself. Okay, clocked out. Like you're not getting money right now. So Mm-hmm. Like you have to just like turn it off. But something that's kind of hard in our field is our emotional investment with these families and patients, that it's hard sometimes to turn that part off. So I'm sure we'll get into that discussion too. So that's kind of the one thing I can think of, is putting my phone away. It's helpful.
Yeah, this has been a problem for me for a while, and I started going to therapy last year, and that was one of my starting points in therapy, was like, I'm coming home an angry person, I'm, you know, texting coworkers or checking emails or whatever, you know, if there's like drama or things happening, and it like trickles into the night with conversations back and forth between people, and I wasn't present, like I was just coming home in a bad mood, you know, which isn't a good way to like enter. And, you know, half of the week, my husband works a night shift. And so half of the week I come home and he goes to bed and then it's me. So I don't have like a second person all the time to just be able to be like, I need a minute to switch gears and like decompress, and then I'll, you know, join you or whatever. I can't do that some nights. So I had to work through that a lot last year, and my therapist gave me a ton of good tips, and I used them last year. And this year I feel like I haven't needed to really do that as much. One thing that's been a problem for me is I always sign up for things and like, oh, we need a person on this committee. And I'll be like, that's me, I'll do it. Or we need somebody to represent this on this team, and I'm like, yep, that's me, I'll do it. And I was in too many things, and those things were not, like, I had to reevaluate if they were serving me a purpose and bringing me joy and like worth my time. And a lot of them weren't, and so I stepped down from a lot of those extra things last year. So I think that's helped me a lot this year. And just being like more mindful of what you say yes to, I guess, what you give your time to.
Mm-hmm. Hard too, to come home. And probably what is the hardest part of a mom's day is that, you know, dinner time to bedtime routine. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have support and your cup is already filled with whatever was put in it at work, it's hard to not have that support as well. So
mm-hmm.
Shout out to single parents out there. Every time I'm on my own, it is just like, It's so hard, so hard.
Yeah.
What do you do, Joyner? What you been doing on your sabbatical?
I can talk to you about when I was working. When you guys were talking, a few things I thought about that were similar for me, and what I was thinking is, I think first you have to know the expectation of your company or whoever you're working for. So if you, like Brittany said, if you have a company who they don't think you should be answering when you're off work, then great. Don't feel like you need to do that. If the company's kind of like, yeah, that's your responsibility to answer when you're contacted or when we call you, even if it's past, if a boss calls you after hours, and that obviously means that they think it's okay to call you after hours for something. So I think knowing the expectations of your company and seeing if that aligns with what you are okay with first. I think in terms of the cell phone thing, one thing I used to do, Brittany has a work phone, but we were able to, when I first started, the company I first started working for, you could have your emails, almost every company I've worked for does this, you could have your work emails set up on your personal device if you really wanted to. Because it was encrypted to be like safe, and so they could somehow put it on our phone so that we were able to get our work email that way. It's really helpful in terms of, I've always been a speech therapist who travels to multiple locations, and I originally had it put on my phone so that if a patient emailed me, my voicemail also was sent there. If they emailed me or they called to cancel, it was helpful because I knew I didn't have to rush back to the clinic really fast. So that's originally why I put it on there. But what happens is, like Brittany says, every time you go past your phone, what do? You look at it and you see if a notification's happened. So I was looking at my work email all the time at home. And mm-hmm. I think what that leads to is burnout. I think you get burned out very quickly.
And there's not that clear separation of like.
There's not. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't have a separation then. And it's leaking into your personal life then. It wasn't honestly, and I'm not, I think you should do this no matter what. It wasn't probably honestly as apparent to me when I didn't have kids yet, because it was kind of just then leaking into like me time or my time outside of the office, which is equally as important. I think once you have kids though, I don't love when it's referred to this way, but it is what it is. It's also a job. I mean, being a mom is also a job. Mm-hmm. So it's a great job. It's a loving job, but it's a really, really exhausting job at times. So I think you essentially have two jobs once you become a working parent. You have your job as being a parent and you have your working job. So you really like have two things that are pulling from you, pulling or having you pour from your cup. So when you've poured out your energy, your time, your expertise at work, and then you only have so much left and you're pouring more out from all the needs and demands that your family has that you have to give them, and then it comes back and you have to pour more from work in that moment, I think that that's just a that's just going to make it so that you're completely empty at times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So I think you have to kind of look at it in terms of like, okay, now I'm at this job now. I'm not at that job anymore. I'm at this job now. Because you can't even be fully present as a parent if you're trying to work two jobs at one time, right. If that makes sense.
It's like that quote of like, be where your feet are, like that.
Yes, I love that quote. Yeah. I don't know where that came from, but I've heard that, and I think that is the best way to keep yourself present is if you, be where your feet are.
And one thing – oh, I was just going to say, it made me think when you said like, you're this person here and you're this person here. That was one strategy when I was doing therapy. I still am, but like when that was my topic, when work was like my focus, that was one strategy that we worked on, was like visualizing, like, okay, you're going to visualize Amy the professional, Amy the SLP. What do you look like at work? What do you feel like at work? And then when you get in your car, like I had this whole routine of like how I leave work. If there were any like floating things in my head, I had a notebook at my desk. And I would write down like if there was an issue or some drama or something that happened that I didn't want to take home, I would like physically write it in this notebook, leave it at my desk. So it was like, this is here because I'm not taking this home with me. And then it was like, once you're in your car, like in your mind, like change into your at home outfit, like your mom outfit or whatever. And like just there was a whole way to like transition, like just like you, it's good to have a nighttime routine to like calm yourself down before bed and do lotion and meditation or whatever people do. She had me come up with like a whole routine for leaving work, and it was like, have calming music, maybe if there's a scent you like, you have that in your car, take a different, like take a longer way home if it's been a hard day. So all of those things were little like tips and tricks to help like break that, I don't know, because I don't have that far of a drive. You know, the place I live is fairly small. My commute is like 10 minutes maybe. And so she was like, is it really going to matter if you're home like 5 more minutes, you know, after you normally would be, if you just take a different way home, if you need that 5 minutes to decompress or sit in your driveway or whatever. So those are all little things that helped like separate the two roles, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's really good advice, especially for short commuters. Or I was sitting here thinking of the work from homers. Like I'm sitting at the desk right now that my husband works at a couple days a week from home, and you can't really, like, your feet are in your house, but you're working. So I think I would have a hard time working from home. And I think some people love it or hate it, or maybe do hybrid. That's such a like normal thing now. So I'm curious what work from homers may say. Maybe they can leave us a comment on how they leave work at work when it's right there in your house. I know it's helped my husband move his desk space like completely out of our living area. Like when COVID first hit, he was just sitting in our living room working all day. And then we would sit in the living room for the evening. And he was like, I can't, like, this is too much time in the living room. So curious what work from home people say that they do to help shut off and turn off and relax for the end of the day. I definitely visualize that, like what Amy was talking about, because I live very close to my job, but because of how I get to my location, it's almost an hour commute total, even though I live, like, I don't know, you know, 4 miles from there. But we'll get into that another time. Anyone who's listening who works where I work is like, uh-huh, yeah, it's really rough. We walk literally a mile from where we park to the location. So it's about 15 minutes, but I've come to really love it. I love, one, the exercise, and two, it's my reading time. I pop in my AirPods and listen to my audiobooks, and that's how I participate in my book club, which is something I do just for me. And I love those moments, and I still have a few minutes when I get to my car then to get to daycare to get my son. So I honestly look forward to that time, and I realized just today, actually, where I was sitting there at lunchtime, I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't even checked on my infant with the babysitter at home. Like, I usually check on him, but I've been so focused, and I you know, attribute that to the commute that I have in, where I can drop off my kiddo at daycare and have my nice long walk, read my book, and, you know, morph into working Brittany. So
I think I like the whole meditation thing. I think about people like my husband's job. He has a job that can be really demanding in terms of emotions at times as well. Not always great outcomes can happen. And even just the amount of – it can just be emotionally draining, I think, for him too, that he can bring it home in terms of still thinking about things at work. So, and I know some people have really hard jobs in that realm. I was just talking to somebody who was a hospice nurse for 10 years, for example. I think those jobs would be really demanding. And I think leaving work at work has a different meaning for those individuals in terms of emotions and thoughts. And so I'm curious if the whole meditation and being able to do something that helps you kind of decompress from that, so you're able to be a little bit more present once you do get home. Because I think that has a different meaning for some people in terms of when they have a highly emotional job.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I'm curious what some things people can do from that. I think if I were to work at home, I remember during COVID and we were all doing like therapy through a computer. I remember I would have to, and we were all staying home. I had to kind of like do what you just said your husband does. Like, I made a little space I worked, and then when I was done, I like closed the door and I didn't go back in there until the next day. So I think I would imagine if I worked from home, I would almost have to have a space in my house that, like, that was where I worked. And then when I was done with the day, I was done in that room. That would just be my thing. I think those highly emotional jobs, like I said, I think you'd almost have to have like, that's when that decompression time, I think, would really come in handy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let us know if you have a highly emotional job. I consider our job as can be stressful, but we are definitely not dealing with really, really extreme situations that I could never do as my job, which is why I don't do it. But I'm interested as what people do psychologically to step away and then be a parent or a husband or wife or whatever. 'Cause props to you and medical professionals and everyone else that has jobs like that. It's incredible to, you almost have to be like two different people, I would think, in a way. So let us know what you do.
Yeah, especially when they are in that medical field and they can't always share with people what's necessarily what's happening.
That's a big one, yeah. Like, to come home and be so torn about something, but you can't let it
out. Can't talk about it, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No.
For people who don't know, we're talking about for HIPAA reasons.
And even, yeah, like, I mean, obviously my husband has a job like that, but that nurse I was talking to that works in hospice, it's just same thing. I mean, even if you were to say like, well, this happened, you can say it, but it, you know, unless the people are also there working with you. I think that's why those people have a good camaraderie sometimes in those jobs.
That kind of lets me think of another topic we could do is the importance of workplace like friendships, because I think we all have close coworkers that we've met at other jobs or our current jobs or whatever, and they are a coworker friend is a different level of friend, and that maybe in those jobs that's really, really important to have that really big comfort zone and people that fill your cup when you're at in the job and they totally get it. So that could be a fun topic that we talk about sometime.
That's
yeah, that's a good idea. I like that. Because that is super important.
Yeah, I think I just heard about, like, they were saying for true happiness, for a person to have true happiness, you have to have friends, but not just, like, in general friends. You have to have different categories of friends. And they were saying, like, the friends that you confide in and can call at any time and tell everything to, coworker friends was on there to have a balance of friendships, and going out friends, like the people that you just don't talk to all the time, but you have fun going out with and you get to see because they live locally.
So, oh, you said that last part. And I was like, oh, check for the three of us, check for the three of us. And then you said live locally and you ruined all of it.
I'll allow it. You guys to have different pockets of friends.
Yeah. I guess you could hang out with other people.
Well, it's I wasn't thinking in that way. I was thinking, oh my gosh, we have such a special friendship. And I often think we wouldn't be friends if we didn't all meet in the small town of Missouri, like grad school.
Right. Well, we did. Well, if you can think about it, we did have that life together.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
That's how we met we were each other's going out friends.
Yeah. Trampled over everything that I was going to say. I'm about to snow blow you.
Snowplow.
Yeah. I was about to say we used to be, I think that's why we were so close in our grad school. First of all, there were only a few of us in the class, like what, 10 or 12?
10. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, you know, so we all understand what we're doing. And this is like, you know, what I hear doctors talk about, like residency and stuff. Like it's, you know, everybody has this in their own niche, like area. But yeah, we were all three of those things at one point, and now we're almost all those things. But we still chat and talk a lot. Daily. More than I even talk to friends that I live in my hometown with, you know. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why we're so special.
That's why it's a special friendship. Yeah. But
I like that we can talk about work stuff. Like, you know, we can.
That's true, because we're in the same profession still.
And I feel like we've shared enough about each of our individual work settings that
we get it, yeah.
Like, even know kind of who you're talking about when you talk about somebody and, like.
Yeah.
Understand, yeah.
You know what? Another thing I was thinking of was, I think it's important too when you're in a profession that is a giving profession. Like everybody's job is important, but some jobs are literally like you are caring for people. Yeah. Like that is your job.
That's
is
a
to
term.
Like,
that's like a caregiver fatigue or something.
Yeah, caregiver fatigue is the term. But if you think about it, like our job is literally to like help another human. That is what we do. Like it's to help with a deficit of speech and language or swallowing. And so your whole job is like, how can I help this family? How can I help this child? How can I help this adult? It's all about caring for another person. And then when you're going home and if you have a family, you're just caring for more humans. Yeah. So I think you have to really, that's a big important reason too, to leave your work at work, especially if you have that kind of job, because that's you're going to empty your own cup so fast if you don't find ways to fill it back up.
That just real quick, I know we're probably going to wrap up here in a second, but that just this evening this happened. So we all probably spend most of our day talking over loud children, trying to educate parents. At least in my setting, we don't have separate meetings with the families often. It's often that the kids are there. Mm-hmm. So it's hard. Obviously, if there's a two-year-old in the presence of adults, they're not easy to talk to the parent and not be getting attention. Even if you give them a toy, it's like, you know, they entertain for just a few minutes, really. So I spend most of the day talking over that and trying to not overwhelm myself, because you're trying to like, okay, I'm trying to educate on something that's really important. The parent is emotionally distressed about it and is trying to learn. And there's a 2-year-old, if not more siblings, running around the room. So anyway, I feel like I handle it fine at work, but then I come home. And tonight my husband was trying to tell me a story and across the kitchen with my 2-year-old whining about something. He was like doing the whole like repeating it over and over until we responded. And we kept being like, please wait, trying to do the gentle parenting. Like, we hear you. We know you have a story to tell us. And he knows to say, excuse me, I have something to say. But now he thinks if he says that, everyone will just stop. So anyway, at some point I looked at my husband. I'm holding the baby who's like drooling and screaming, whatever. And I just was like, I can't. I do this all day. Like, can you tell me the story later? Okay. And I just had that moment of like, I'm trying really hard to not be overwhelmed because it's really not that big of a deal of a situation. But because of what I do all day, mm-hmm. my cup is filled with this noise and talking. I can't do that anymore. And it's okay to just be like, how about we talk? You tell me the story after bedtime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's anyway. A whole new movement that I've seen lately on social media, talking about how overwhelmed like your sensory system is in moms. Mm,
yeah.
I definitely get that. Yeah, I've seen like people, moms wearing earbuds and stuff. Like,
yeah. Have you seen those? Those like e-loop mm-hmm. things that people wear those in their
noise
ears?
Cancellation, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For because like parents.
I saw this thing that like it was showing how many things moms are taking in sensory wise and then why we're so overwhelmed. Like we'll like some people like will snap and be like, oh my God, why are you so on edge? And then it went back and showed all the sensory things that were happening at once to that mm-hmm. person.
Yeah. Oh, it's like no wonder you feel overwhelmed. That's yeah, when because... I step out on my deck and I take a break.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now my kids yeah. do that. They'll be like, I
need a break.
Step yeah. out on the deck.
That's why I stay up till 1 a.m. watching a TV show.
Yeah, because you just have to chill, right? I find that too, where I'm like, why am I flustered constantly? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just cleaning the kitchen, but why do I feel so flustered? Like, because mm-hmm. you're in the red zone, you mm-hmm. know? You're heightened. All of our OT friends out there, we're in the red zone. Help us.
I mean, like, I had a baby crying. I have a 4-month-old or 5-month-old now. I had a baby crying. I had 2 older boys running around the house throwing, like, who knows what, a ball or something. The doorbell was ringing because their friends wanted to come in and play. I was vacuuming early, right before that. I had like a pot boiling on the stuff. I mean, it was like ridiculous. And I was like, what is going on with me? Oh, my phone rang at the same time. And I was like, and I can usually handle a lot. Like I can handle a lot. But I was like, for a second, I was like, oh my God, look at yeah. the amount of sensory things that are going on right now. Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it was me calling because I think you told me the story the next day that you were like, not now, Amy.
Yeah, not now, Amy.
Because you described that whole situation to me.
Yeah.
That reminds me of when Amy first had her first kid, she had the baby, like you had your daughter before mm-hmm. we had kids. So it was definitely, you wanted to let us know that it was hard. And you definitely weren't quiet about that. So I would give you a call after work or something, you answer and you'd be like, hello, you should see my house right now. You should just listen. I vividly remember that and I would be like, okay, yeah, it's overwhelming. I really don't get it. And
soon to be 4 kid Amy is laughing yeah. at that 1 kid Amy right now.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Anyway, I feel like we could go on and on about
yeah.
I feel like we need to motherhood. That's
we need to wrap it up because 34-week pregnant Amy needs to use the restroom. So
on that note, about 34 minutes. So
all right, guys. Okay. So I think that was the importance of leaving your work at work. Hopefully, you learned a few tips and tricks that can help you.
And please comment. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're work from home or you have an emotionally draining job, let us know. What do you do to tap out at the end of the day?
All right. Oh, and on that note, my dog needs to go outside too. So.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Remember, we're not editing, so this is real life. Goodbye.
Bye. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you liked what you heard, please hit subscribe or follow so you know each time a new episode is posted.
Please do us a giant favor and join our Facebook group and follow our Instagram page, Cup of Counsel Podcast. A review would really help us out too.
Let us know what you loved, what you want to hear more about, and what we could do to improve this podcast to make it the most meaningful for you. Thank you.